Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Corey Lofi, alongside your friend, the star of the show, Mr. Arborjet Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, I got to tell you, I've traveled a couple different time zones today, just made it in time to hit the record button, but we're going to pull it together. We're going to have fun. And happy holidays, brother. How are you?
I'm good. It's like that Thanksgiving family all gets sick, beginning of winter. Boys had fevers, kind of went through some flu around the house. Everybody's coming out of it just in time for this weekend. It's good. You know, it's an unusual time of the year. And I know we'll chat about it later in the podcast, but you kind of get in a lull. You know, what's next? What do you do? Hours are cut. You slow down. You regroup. You focus. You plan for next year. So I'm in that phase right now. And I was looking for a new hobby. Believe it or not, because this has to do with trees and wood too. Last year, my wife bought me a laser engraver.
Oh.
That you hook up. And you could do... it's like a laser wood burning images on wood. So I started playing around with it the other day. Dude, this is going to be fun. So it's one more thing. What can you do with all the urban wood or scraps or cookies? I'm going to start making stuff out of it. And I'm going to put decoration on them. I'm going to wood burn them in there. I'm going to make coasters for houses. And I'm going to save some urban wood.
But can you make podcast coasters out of wood? I know we handed a bunch out at Expo that were made out of cardboard.
Man, if I had the PDF of that logo, yes, I could make the cookies, burn them in there, oil them up, and pass them out. So I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm in. Just one more thing we could do with trees. I'm all in it. And and there was another thing. Before we get too far off track, because I came up with another idea that we'll chat about with our guest tonight, because I think our guest tonight, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about some things that we've been wanting to talk about in a while with his expertise, and I'll squeeze it in with him later. But I got another idea. Pretty cool.
I'm a little worried about these ideas, but I'm actually happy because, like you were saying, this time of year, there's so much we can be doing, so much we can be learning and applying ourselves, especially, you know, when we're trying to finish up projects. Maybe you're trying to get a couple of those last sales or those last trim jobs or whatever it is in before the end of the year. Make sure you're taking a minute and kind of evaluating where you are with your career. Where do you want to go? Have you been safe? And that kind of leads us into tonight's conversation. I think Joe and I were at TCI Expo a couple weeks ago, and we had more than one person come up to us and share information on topics they'd like to hear. And believe it or not, EHAP and safety around power lines and training all came up more than once. So Joe, if you're good, I say we welcome on the guest and, you know, see where it goes.
I jump right in head first. Let's go.
Okay. Well, tonight's guest is going to be Corey Conry, coming all the way from California. And we're going to talk trees, safety, training. We're going to talk it all. So Corey, number two, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. I actually was out in our wilderness today, so I was over by Mount Lassen. If you know the area, we have some of the biggest trees out here, so it's always fun to go out and check those out. So, but yeah,
are those trees urban or are they traditional forest?
Traditional forest, pondo pines or Pinus ponderosa, for all those BCMAs out there. Or we have the Douglas fir, not a fir, but whatever. We'll leave it on that one. I saw that today, and then I saw an eastern, a white Oregon white oak. So I haven't seen one of those in a while. Those are in the higher elevations in the mountains area. So But I enjoy it. Every day I go out and I actually like will post pictures of like trees I saw today. Like a sweet gum has some of the coolest colors, or a liquid amber has some of the coolest colors ever when they start to lose all their chlorophyll. So I always like to show those different like sides of like trees are actually pretty cool, and they keep, you know, going and amazing me every day. So,
are you going through color change now?
No. I am.
No, it's because I'm thinking, man, ours are long gone, long time ago. But then again, it is California.
California, who knows?
Everything's different. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I'm sorry. I was like, I do have some white in my beard, but definitely not my hair yet. I mean,
on the trees.
I know. We're it's pretty cold. It actually, it's supposed to snow tomorrow up there in the mountains. So we're supposed to get a foot of it. So that should be pretty fun for our bucket trucks.
Well, Corey, why don't you fill the listeners in? Give us maybe a little bit of background on yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you get into the industry?
So I grew up in Redding, California, where I am now. But so I went to high school, college, went down to Point Loma on a rugby scholarship, went there for 5 years. Actually was a political science major. So if that really throws you off for a little bit. So I did the debate team. So and then I moved to DC. I worked on the Hill for about 4 years for two different congressmen, I was a legislative aide and a legislative correspondent. So like when you write angry letters in, like we have to respond to them. So that was one of my things, was responding back to those, and we get them in like thousands. So we'd write like one letter that covered it and send it back. And so, yeah, it was a different area. I loved living there. Museums. They had the cherry blossoms. I didn't really care about trees back then, if I'm being honest with you. I just knew that they either got in the way or they're pretty. So, but yeah, and I missed my family. My dad had a heart attack, so I wanted to come back and see them. So I see my family once a week now since I've moved back. And so I have a 2-year-old son here now. But so I worked in the, sorry, I'm kind of getting a little scatterbrained there, but
you're fine.
So I worked in the emergency room as an EMT for about 3 years. So that's kind of like where I started learning that I really liked like being like a leader in some type of aspect, because there'd be code blues coming in, which is like someone dead or dying. And so I was always the first one to jump on CPR, since I wasn't like a nurse or a doctor. They needed someone to break the chest. So, sure. But then, that also got pretty tiresome too, just because like it made me kind of numb to the fact of like caring for people. So I was like, I don't know if this is my thing, because you just saw the same people come in. They said they had chest pain, but their toe was turning black, and you're like, all right, you got to pick one or the other, you know. So
yeah.
And then I did wildland firefighting for 2 years. I started when the car fire happened, the campfire that year. And then I ended in 2019, and I started with this company called P31. I was a brush dragger. It really opened my eyes to like a different aspect of it. I was like, oh, dude, $25 an hour to drag brush? I was like, we can do that all day. So did that for about 2 years. But 6 months in, the safety director was like, hey, you do really good paperwork. And I was like, I know, that's kind of my specialty. And so he brought me in and was like, we need to start an onboarding program. And so I was like, well, I've worked in the emergency room, so I could teach CPR. I've worked as a wildland firefighter in California. It's really big for fire here. So we can teach that, how to cut line, hot line, do water, all that other, how to spray, use a backpack pump. And yeah, so got into that, kind of topped out a little bit there. They were, I wanted to kind of move and start doing bigger things, and started at Mountain F Enterprises, where we do utility line clearance for mainly PG&E, SMUD, which is Sacramento's utility, and then also up in Oregon, a Pacific Corps. So we do pole clearance up there. So, but yeah, did onboarding. It's probably my main jam. I really focus on trying to keep, like, because like after that 90-day mark, an employee knows if they're going to work there or not. And you can usually know if you're going to work there in a week. So, but yeah, kind of my background. So I have like a very good, fruitful background of like tree work. And so I knew that like training was going to be my thing. And now I really focus on trying to make training programs better. Like my next presentation I'm working on right now is Train the Trainer. So, because, you know, PowerPoints are great, but also hands-on is what our industry is all about. So you got to figure it out.
Well, and you got to think training is important in the tree and landscape world, for sure. We're around power equipment. There are hazards left and right. you're adding in power lines to the equation. So
yeah,
where do you start?
So, well, I'm not a lineman, didn't know anything about electricity, mostly like I self-taught, which is, you know, good and bad of it. But if I'm being honest, I usually have like a book in my backpack that it's called the Electrical Power System Basics for Non-Electrical Professionals. And so I try to like really dumb it down for myself so then I can also dumb it down for, you know, other people out there, because it's hard to explain like, you know, hertz and voltage and like, why do you have high voltage with low amperage? And I just want to be like, don't touch that.
Let me jump in real quick. Let's dumb it down one more notch, because we're talking EHEP.
Yeah.
Not everybody on the call knows what that acronym stands
That's
for.
That's true. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So
as we get into the voltage and everything and what you do and energy clearance, explain what EHEP is.
So TCIA developed a program, which the Tree Care Industry Association, it's called the Electrical Hazard Awareness Program. And so it's six chapters. They're kind of revamping it right now because the ANSI, which is our kind of like our I call it a history book, but it's our rule book for our industry, is going through a big change in chapter four. So, but yes, we have that program where it teaches about the 1910-269, which is electrical hazards for workers working around power lines. Chapter two talks about all the equipment and stuff like that. So we have different aspects we really try to bring into it and make sure that people understand like what they're dealing with. Like I teach it on TCIA's website through the Susan Hayward grant. Actually I have a class coming up, so it's free. So you guys can look into that if you guys are on the podcast. It's always good to get free stuff like that. But it has to be trained yearly. And one of these things that people don't understand is like, you know, how the service drops work or what voltage is, and that, you know, electricity, you don't really know it's there until it's too late, and it's instantaneously. And so we have something in place that they try to do a training every year to make sure that we have like at least awareness of like what's going on, understand that we need to like have understanding of like what amperage can do to you, what the voltage is for lines, so you can understand like what kind of like electricity is flowing through there at the time. So but yeah,
I think it's amazing. And you talked about training. I go back 30-35 years ago, I would clear a service drop into a home and not think twice about it until I went to an EHAP class back in the day. And you realize that that's a pretty hot energized line.
Yes. Yeah, service drop actually kills about half of tree workers that touch it. Like
what?
That's about half of our deaths that happen for electricity is through the service drop. So like there's the ones that go right to the house, the ones from a transformer, which is like that bucket looking thing on the pole. People don't take that seriously because they're like, oh, low voltage, 240, 120, maybe, you know, 360 or something like that, depending on where you're at. And they don't care for it. And they go up and they touch it and they think nothing's going to happen because they think it has it has weathering on there, like some type of like cover, and then that's perfect. And then they touch it, and we, you know, this is not necessarily like all tree workers too, it's where deaths happen is from the service drops, because it's such a low voltage, it's not legally required for a utility to maintain the service drop. They have to maintain their lines but not the drop to the house. And so who does it? The homeowners do. You know, who does it?
Yeah, that's kind of a gray area, and you probably know this, is that it's a gray area that nobody technically is authorized to trim that, and because there's no training for that.
No. And well, and the best part is like you have to call them to do it, and they don't want to clear it, you know, because it's not their responsibility. They already have some companies, like for instance PG&E, has about 110,000 miles worth of power lines. You know, imagine adding service drops into it. So it's a crazy amount, and it's something that we need to at least train on, that people don't understand. It's not necessarily the voltage of the line, it's the amperage that kills you on there. And so you could be dealing with the 240, and all your heart needs to do is just clamp up once, and then your cardiac arrest, and that's it. You're dead. It's that simple too. And that's why I try to instill in these guys, like, don't climb a tree if there's a power line touching it, because that phloem and that xylem that's all liquid in there can be conductive. And it just takes one time for you to be wrong. That electricity, you know, it just has to be right one time. You have to be wrong one time, and you have to be right all the other times.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because everybody listening that's been operating a bucket, and that's another thing you got to worry about, the boom when you're running a bucket. But we've all been in trees or a salesperson spec'd pruning or removal of a tree where the power line is touching it. One of the companies that I climb for, we couldn't get within 10 feet of the line. And I don't know, because I've never done the EHAP training. That was just kind of the standard. But what do you see? What do you recommend? Obviously, you're a professional at this. So what do you tell people who maybe don't have the training that you do?
Well, you have to, like any type of job, you do a job site assessment. So what equipment are you going to need? So do you, I usually start from the biggest stuff first, is like, or sorry, the backwards. I can do it, the smallest stuff first. Can you climb it? Right. Yes. Well, can we do it with the bucket? Right. Because the bucket's a little safer than climbing. Well, yes. And it's like, okay, maybe we need a crane, or do we need, you know, maybe a bigger 70 footer to get under and over a little bit. So it's doing that. First off, it's just understanding the tools that you're going to need for the job. And then once you get out there, you have to understand the voltage. And so that has three different mat charts. And that's where the 1910-269 comes in for OSHA. It tells you, it has three different mat charts. It has like your everyday person is 10 feet at all times, whether it's the guy wire or the power pole. Then you have what's called incidental. So incidental is like, you do tree work, but you're not working for the utility. And then you have also a line clearance, like tree trimmer, or I know you don't like the trimmer word, tree pruner. So, but they get handed a work order from the utility specifically. So they have different distances where they can be away from the line. Doesn't necessarily mean that, like, if you get right at 2 feet, 2 feet, 3 inches, or whichever one you're at, it means it's going to arc over. But it means you need to keep that amount of distance from the line to make sure that you do not have any potential for a line strike. And that's not necessarily means like where your shoulder's 2 feet, 3 inches. It's where you fully extend your arm, fully extend the bucket, whatever it is. It's not going to come into contact with the line, because that's the biggest misconception, is people will get 2 feet from the line, 2 feet, 3 inches or whatever. And then they'll lean back because a branch is going to hit them, because they just did a pruning cut to get one of those water sprouts up there. And they electrocute themselves on their back. And there used to be, go ahead. Sorry.
Now, is it true? Now we're talking about coming in contact. You have to come in contact with it, or something that's energized. Arc doesn't flash. The arc is the opposite when you're pulling away from it, isn't it?
Arcing. Yeah. It just depends on like the conductivity of like where you're at. Like you can have sometimes arc flash clothing, or people wear those insulated gloves or anything like that. But I've heard, at least I've read, is that you have to almost physically touch the line for it to arc over in these distribution areas. Transmission's a little different because there's more amperage going through there and it's a higher voltage. But I've just read that like you can actually get almost like pretty close to it and will arc over. But I mean, these linemen back in the day, the way they used to test the lines, if they were hot or not, they would hit the back of their hand on there because they didn't want to freeze their hands on the line, because if you touch it with the palm, you could have it where your ligaments will clench onto it. But if you touch it with the back of your hand, you won't actually grip it because your hand can't go backwards. And that's what we started out with, you know. So, and electricity is, you know, 150 years old. I mean, flying the kite with the ring on there, or if you're a Tesla fan, then I forgot the first name, but Tesla is also the other guy that invented electricity as well. So, or harnessed it.
It's an amazing. Electricity is actually pretty amazing. Now I was teaching a class and we talk about energy conductors and lightning protection in trees. And you know, I got into the whole chapter talking about side flash and you know how dangerous it really is. And it's amazing, other than if you're in the industry, like you are, Corey, where you're learning about this. I think it's it's something that's just overlooked.
Yes, it is 100%. Like, I taught a chainsaw class last week to a group down in Walnut Creek, and they were like, they had only top handles for all their groundwork. Ooh. And like, it's just, it's just these industry standards that we have that, like, sometimes people just don't know. And so they don't know about electricity. Like this one, a firefighter told them, they were telling me the story about a tree went down in the power lines. They said, it's okay to touch it as long as you're far away from it. And I was like, do not ever touch a tree that has electrical lines on it. And they're like, we didn't know that. Like, they didn't know about chainsaw chaps. They didn't know how electricity worked. And it's just like, it's really sometimes just a lack of like teaching and training them. And so that's why, like, I really enjoy to get these phone calls from them, because like, they're just amazed almost how much information they didn't know. And I'm like, dude, tell your friends, I'll train anybody. So
we'll make sure that we have your information at the end of this or in the show notes, because I really do think that's important. Because my training was, hey, Corey Lofi, this stuff is is dielectric. You're going to stay 10 feet or more away from a line, but this stuff is the stuff that you would go around that 10 foot mark. But then I was also told, if the bucket struck a line, don't walk away from it. And then I learned about a hop or a shuffle, and that is the only training. And I've climbed for a bit. That's the only training I ever got.
And see, that's the other thing, is like, just because these buckets are dielectrically tested doesn't necessarily mean that, like, at that moment it's going to work for you. Because again, electricity just has to be right once. And so some of them have like arrows and stuff where it points where like there's like the disconnect part. But the shuffle part, I understand what you're talking about. They've used to tell people to jump out of the bucket and then kind of hop, because like the electricity won't circuit through you because your legs are together. And again, it's better if it's not getting you and you're not moving to stay there. If you're in the vehicle, stay in the vehicle. Like, do not like think, oh, I got to run away, because the circuit, once it goes from one area to like a hotter area to more of a grounded area, it's over. You're all you are is a vessel, is a circuit for the electricity.
You guys got me at hop.
Did you ever get that, Joe? You've been doing this a while. What was your training like on this?
I didn't have no training.
Exactly.
I had a company finally said, Joe, you want to go to the CHAP class? I'm like, heck yeah. And I came back. I says, Steve, I ain't doing that no more. And he's like, what are you talking about? I says, man, they watched a service drop on a gutter and burn a house to the ground, man. That stuff's dangerous. He goes, oh, man, don't be a, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, don't hop, because energy can't catch you.
No.
But what if
your knees, give up.
And if you see some of the guys at TCI Expo with their toe popping out of their boot, if you hit a pinhole in your boot and you're hopping away from electricity, it's going to get you.
Yep.
I don't get it. That's hilarious. Hop away.
Hop or shuffle. Just don't shuffle too big, because then it creates a circuit. So it's, again, when the bucket's moving, you shouldn't be near the bucket. Like, I would just tell anybody listening, like, anytime you're like having the bucket and you're working around power lines, don't be near it. Don't go, oh, I'm going to grab something real quick, because all he has to do is one time hit the line. That circuit just needs to connect one time, and that's it.
It's instant.
There's your heart literally is creating electricity right now. And all it is just a bigger electricity. And what happens to like a circuit breaker or a fuse cutout, it blows up. And not necessarily your heart's going to blow up, but it's going to clamp up and your engine just stopped. And then maybe it blew out all the little, like,
a diode or a
spark
resistors.
Plug or something in there, right? All of your spark plug just blew up. So it's just very serious. And I think sometimes that we lose track of that because we're just so used to like electricity, not something we really think about anymore. It's really cool back in the day, when they first got their first transmission line over in New York. But now it's like, if we lose power for more than 30 minutes, we're PO'd.
Freaking out and calling DTE in Michigan.
They're like, we're mad about the fires, we're mad about our rolling blackouts, but you can't, I don't want a generator, but I want one. I just don't want to pay for it. It's just like, it's so always
to have. I just came up with one before we get too far off the training, because you asked Mr. Lofi, you asked me what my training was. I remember a guy telling me back in the day that if a wire was touching a tree, they used to run and jump and grab the tree, then shinny up it. So as long as they didn't touch the tree and the ground at the same time, they weren't energized.
So
it goes back to, you said hop away.
Oh, well, so something that we need to realize and be present with in this moment is that Joe and myself, I mean, Joe's had that, training after the fact, but there are listeners to this show, and there will be people that this is as much training as they're going to get until they can enroll in that EHAP program. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, you know, we've got a couple minutes here. Let's, what other advice or what other things? Because Court, you're probably going to save people's lives. The reality is you're probably going to save people's lives just by telling them some of the simple things that we've already covered.
Well, I would just like, before I give my, like what you need to do for, to be better in the industry, but there's a lot, they do about 4 or 5 EHAPs a quarter, which is about 3 months for free at TCIA. So please utilize it. It's about an $80 like program that they give out absolutely free. And you could have one of, you could have me teach it. Dr. Ball's teaching a class at the end of December. So that's that, I'm dropping in on that one. I don't even have to go to it. I know about a lot of this stuff, but like, you got to keep learning. And that's where it gets to my second point. Quit complaining that you're not moving up. Quit complaining about why your company is not like, oh, they're not bringing me up to be a general foreman, or they're not bringing, like, go out, get an ISA arborist study guide and learn about your trade. Like I've heard the analogy all the time that, like, you don't go to a hospital and have someone operate on you that doesn't know what they're doing. You wouldn't want someone doing that. We're tree surgeons out there. You know, like we have like a saying in line clearance that they go, it's for clearance, not appearance. But we could do a lot better than that. We can learn how a tree anatomy is and learn how their the physiology of it, and like where to cut on the branch collar. Like I talk about on my Instagram all the time. I just show, like, here's where you cut. If you want your tree to thrive, like, learn about its anatomy. And so, you know, if you want to be a manager, take a management class, read a book. Like I always read the Extreme Ownership book. Like, yeah. Like that was one of the most eye-opening books that I've had. It was by Jocko. I can't remember his last name, but he talks about just like, you know, if there's a bad situation, good. Just keep going. There's no like bad situation. You learn from it. You keep thriving. Quit complaining about it, because like,
isn't Jocko that Navy SEAL? He wrote, is that the,
yeah.
His,
yeah. Yeah. Combat ownership. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started 5 years ago and I didn't know anything about trees. And now I'm a utility arborist and I teach a lot of people about it because I opened a book. I have about 150 of them of tree biology, and some of them are probably the same, but we got to make sure that you got to like keep learning. There's no like professional who knows everything. I got in an Instagram war the other day about someone one-handing a saw. He says, well, he's a professional. He knew what he was doing. And I go, there's plenty of professionals that aren't, they make mistakes. He's like, well, professionals don't make mistakes. I'm like, all right, I know that I'm arguing with the wall now.
They've never watched an NFL game.
Well, I said one-handing the saw. I was like, comma, lame, you know, just to kind of like put it out there, because these guys want professional wages, but they don't act professional. Like the Yankees have a standard of like how their baseball players are supposed to dress and facial hair and stuff. And they get paid the big bucks, you know, and that's kind of like how I look at it. If you want to be called a professional, you want to like make our industry better, teach them how to do it the right way. Don't just sit there because it looks cool. You one-handed it one time down a log of a tree. Like, it's just like, show us that there are professionals out here. Like, and just like, even how you dress or just how you like talk to people. Like, that's one of the biggest problems we have with our like trainers sometimes, is that you get them from the field and, you know, every other word's a cuss word, or they're belittling them. It's like, no, you got to like be able to pick them up a little bit. Yes, they did something wrong, but it doesn't mean you have to make them feel belittled for it. Like, that's one of the biggest things that I really try to emphasize on, is trying to be, you know, the adult training, where you talk to someone like an adult and they won't be defensive. They'll listen to you. It might not work the first time, but it's going to keep working if you be consistent about it.
That's, you know, what advice dawned on me just now as we're going through this EHAP and electricity, Corey and Corey, I honestly believe that this topic is the first topic, Corey, in almost 3 years that covers both urban forestry, arboriculture, and traditional forestry, because we never talk about energy clearance in the wilderness or in the wildlife. You know, it's almost like we stop talking about it because it's not next to somebody's house. But you think about the millions of miles of conductive energy that goes through the forest that our traditional foresters have to be aware of also. Are they taking a class? Are they being taught about it?
Oh, I know, just because I was out there today. I mean, I had transmission. We have, I literally live right next to 500 KV lines and 230s. In like, they have to go somewhere. It's like a freeway. Like eventually, like those lines are going somewhere. And yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like there's not as much training, at least for an overall industry for like tree workers. Cause like incidental, they just are just told like, hey, don't touch the line. And then like, all right, sounds good. I'll speed line it out instead of send it full send. So it's just like understanding the part of it is just like how dangerous it is. So, but yeah, no, yeah. I agree with you. Like there's, it's all over the place. Like you just don't, we don't look up very often and there's lines all over the place. So
Corey, yeah. as we're drawing this conversation to a close, Joe yeah. and I, all the listeners, we're really grateful for all the value that you've brought. Is there anything that you want to, I think the last kind of segment that you just went off on there, I think that was powerful. And I hope our listeners really take that to heart. But is there any way that you want the listeners to get a hold of you? And we'll make sure that we include some of this in the show notes, but they can follow you on Instagram or anything good.
Yeah. So my phone number, like we can put it on there. I'll give it to them. I'll answer it, you know, as long as you're a normal human being. Like you're not just calling me at 12 o'clock at night. My Instagram, Corey of All Trainer. So that's a good one. It's just Corey. If you typed in Corey Connery, it's going to pop up because I post a lot of content because I just like want everyone to learn out there. But I would leave like with this last part because like you can have my email on there. I'll all be posted in there. Please contact me. If you want a training, we can talk about any trainings that I do. If you want to like get a right direction, I get people calling like, hey, how do I get my arborist? And I'd show them exactly the direction because I want to be paid professional wages. So if they're acting professional, we're all like a boats of rising tide here. So I want to make sure that, you know, one injury affects us all. You know, there's a stand, someone gets killed, there's a stand down for the whole company. It's not, you know, if there's someone that dies on a project, there's, you know, there's a safety talk about it. There's someone gets hurt. So I want everybody to be better. And so I would leave with this is just like, if you were dropping a branch on like the ground and your family was standing next to it, or your family is standing underneath the power line, would you drop it the same way you're going to do it if they weren't there? And so that's the way I kind of look at it. When I'm driving, am I going to drive like a maniac if my kid was out on the freeway? No, like it's just, it's very like, you got to take control of like, that's one of my biggest things. Every training I do, first thing I talk about is like, why am I even doing this? This is not just for money. This is for my son, my mom, my dad, you know, making sure that they have me come home at night. That's what I want. I don't want anybody not to, that phone call sucks. I've never made it. Don't want to, you know, because it's just, that's why I hope to like elevate the standard by training people and like actually showing them like there is better ways to do things. You can always say no. That's one of the biggest things I think people get scared of is they're going to lose their job. So, but yeah, act like your family's there. And I think people would act a lot different when they're working if they would like actually visualize like their kid underneath the power line. They wouldn't just like, oh, I'm just going to drop it, whatever. So,
yeah, I like that. This is all good. I mean, the powerful things I'm getting from you, it's awesome. I know our listeners are going to get a lot out. Be intentional out there. Be safe. Joe Aitken, anything you want to do to sign off?
No, I think this is a topic that, like, obviously we covered pretty good, but I think we build on it. I think there's other next level EHAP discussions that need to be made. And Corey, I hope you're out for it. You know, maybe we'll find another spot a little bit later into the winter on as guys get fired up for the spring. You know, to remind them that hey, look up. It's all part of the planning. You got to know that it's there and you got to know how to work around it safely. And it might be at the point where it's not at your level and you might have to say no and pass it off, but you got to be able to know when to say when. And we've recently had a tree come down here in Michigan that I was looking at with a customer for plant healthcare and when it just died and it was such an integral removal that they had to shut the grid down to get it down. So when you get around there, to that level, safety is paramount. And they looked at it and they had to shut the grid down for that neighborhood long enough to remove it safely.
Yeah. I was going
to go and put the lines back up.
And I remember you talking last one was the transformer that caught on fire. I was thinking like, that's energy right there. It's all electricity is just heat. You know, you have your resistors and you have your like inductors, and that's all it is. And so I don't know. It was funny that you brought that up. And
Just don't play around it. It's serious. Mm-hmm. If we have to leave our listeners with one thing, don't mess with it. That's all I can say. And I love how you put it, as easy it is for someone to understand it, Corey. And that's what we need to do. We got a great group of people that are out there taking care of the earth by taking care of trees. And they just got to know that it's not a joke.
Awesome. Well, thank you, gentlemen, both so much. Thank you to all the listeners. If you stuck with us here, we'll make sure that we throw our guests lovely and generous information in the show notes for you. So thank you both.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.